We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Aviation Sports Talk Wednesday. It's Notre Dame football midweek mailbag spring practice edition. We had a little glimpse of practice this morning, not a whole lot, you know, so like what we actually gleaned from there, you know, but hey, it's the restart of spring after they started 2 weeks ago and then got a week off for spring break. They're back at practice today on a, it's as cold as it's been probably in the last month as well out there today.
That, that wind out there today was brutal, okay? It was cold out there. Wow.
We've got some guys who have been working overtime getting here early. So I think Salty's been, Salty was at least gone yesterday. I think Tommy was as well. I want to say Salty might not have been here on Monday, or if he was, it didn't seem like he was here for that long. But, he's working overtime, putting in the questions.
Yeah, back with a vengeance, considering his first post was at 5:08, by the way. So.
Oh, my gosh, really? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
He was sitting there having a cocktail or two.
Hey,
getting ready power to him.
Popping open his salty peanuts and having a good time.
Yes, exactly. Here's an interesting one that he posted. I don't know, like, if you have any idea for this. He says, podcast chats offer features such as edit and gifting, in which a month of IB board membership can be gifted. Which features should be added to the IB chat?
So is are people hoping that they're going to start gifting each other, like a month of board opportunities, basically? Or are we supposed to be gifting that away?
Like, right.
What does that mean exactly?
I think that's almost a, you know, more a question for guys like Salty and other people in the chat, right? Because like they're the ones who use the chat more frequently.
This is true.
Responding to the chat.
I suppose there's some people out there that might gift a month of the board to somebody or whatever, but you can still do that. You just got to find out who these people are in real life and you can gift him some time on the board. That could definitely be a thing.
Yeah. Salty said he was only here at the beginning of both shows. His leash gets yanked at 6:30. Okay. So let me find a legitimate football question. Salty, you've got a few questions pertaining to the offensive line, and we're going to kind of address that in rapid fire. So you might not be here by then if you if your leash does get yanked. I see Billy Shrouth there. I'll go with a couple here. He says, Dylan Proctor transferred from Bama to Iowa, received NIL dollars at Iowa, then transferred back to Alabama all within 3 months and kept the NIL money. Should this be legal? I think this is a simple response.
I mean, free enterprise, man. Like, I honestly don't have, if Iowa's dumb enough to give him all the money up front, sorry. I mean,
well, these collectives, I thought, like, they signed contracts, I thought, with these players and stuff like that when they give them money. So if there's no stipulation in whatever agreement they come, you know, this is really not that different from the ACC and their grant of rights deal. Yeah. Like, if there's wording in the contract that says one way or another, it's a legal contract. You know, if everybody signs it and it's, you know, gone the proper steps to make it a legal document, I assume that Dylan Proctor at the very least had some kind of agent, if not a lawyer.
Sure.
You know, and vice versa with whatever the collective was with Iowa. So if Iowa didn't stipulate that he's got to give the money back if he leaves, then
it's on them.
All's fair in love and war, right?
If I decided to take a teaching job someplace else and they give me a signing bonus or whatever, or a dean job someplace else, and they're like, hey, we'll give you $10,000 to come and be the dean at XYZ high school, and they hand me a check when I walk in the door, and then 3 months later, I decide, you know what, this job isn't for me.
Yeah. You know? David says it's Caden Proctor, okay. Not Dylan Proctor.
Fair enough. So, I mean, I did see the story on Twitter, so I do know what they're talking about. But I guess, look, the NIL is still a wild, wild west. There's no rules. And so the kids can take advantage of it, I guess. Don't give them all the money up front. That's on you. Sorry. I guess I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you give the money back. If you're not going to stay at the school that gave you the money, then you give the money back. But if there's nothing in the agreement that says you have to give the money back, and like you brought up a job, I remember early in my illustrious radio career where, you know, it was a small market and, you know, I had come to the agreement with my boss because it was, you know, it was a stepping stone type job because it was an entry level type job. And I said, if I'm still here in a year, how about $1,000 bonus, you know, for being here? And he had kind of forgotten about it, but
hey,
he owed me the money. So he gave me the money, but then like a month or two later, I found another job and I moved on. I sure didn't give the bonus back, because that was part of the deal. I was there. I fulfilled my part of the contract. I took the money.
But see, here's the thing. NIL is supposed to be money for a service of some sort, right? Signing autographs, you know, whatever the case may be. So if he got the money and never did the service, then the contract should state that he shouldn't have the money, right? Or you're stupid for paying him before he does the service. Right. So, you know, or you've given money for basically nothing. Well, that, again, that's on the people that are giving out the money. If it's money for service and he did the service, let's say it was for signing autograph. I'm speaking whatever. So let's say it was for signing autographs and he did the autograph signing and then he got the money, then that money's his. Doesn't matter whether he actually suits up with Iowa or not. Like, that's on you guys for doing that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't have an issue with it. I really don't. I mean, look, is it, at the end of the day, is it the right thing to do? Probably not. But I'm sure that these people are looking to screw kids over just as much as the kids are looking to screw them over.
And I mean, the fact that he went back and forth to begin with, I mean, there's a lot there just without any NIL money.
Absolutely. So absolutely. Cause now Iowa has to look for another offensive lineman, you know? And so, yeah, it's a whole thing, but yeah, I mean, look, he gets to keep the money. I don't have a problem with it if they're silly enough to do it the way they did it.
I'm going to throw another salty question in there because he asked this one last week and we didn't answer it. So I feel like this is going to be a reoccurring theme. He said, rank the greatest sports call of all time. Al Michaels, Miracle on Ice, Vin Scully, Boggs, bottom of the ninth home run, Sean Steyer's Lady Irish ACC championship final moments, Boggs ninth inning. Are you thinking of Kirk Gibson, bottom of the ninth, the Vin Scully call? They're salty. I don't remember like a Boggs call. I would rank them in that order, though. That's the order that I would go in.
Regardless. Look, your national championship call was better. And also your baseball calls when they went to the College World Series back in 2002. Those were all gold. Gold, Jerry. They were gold.
Much appreciated. Yeah. That's, it was the ACC thing. I've listened to it a couple of times. Brian put it up there on the boards last week. It hit the right notes or whatever. There also kind of had to be the right balance struck because for as many ACC championships as they have, this is my first one. And I couldn't act like they'd never won an ACC championship before and just go nuts. It's like, it was their sixth championship.
Right.
You know? So it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I appreciate the love on the other one.
Hey, let's call him how I see him. Okay. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll answer Brandon's question as well. He asked how I came across being the voice of Notre Dame women's basketball. Is that something you pursued through school, broadcasting affiliate company? Yeah. So
this is a great story. Go ahead.
I mean, how far back do you want me to start? This actually goes back to my Army days. I went into the Army thinking that I was going to, I went in to learn a language. I learned Russian. I had a security clearance, all these different things. I thought I was going to come out working like for the FBI or the NSA. some kind of spy, whatever it happens.
Yes, spy. That would have been great. I would have never met you, but it would have been great.
Right? So that's what I thought I was going to be. And then, probably 3 of the 4 years in, I'm like, man, this, I don't know. Like, working for the government, based on my military experience, I just was not seeing a future on that side. And I love sports, and some friends of mine were like, actually, you love sports. Maybe you should think about doing that, And so got out of the Army, got into the University of Kansas, which again was kind of the, pursuit, and started working for the student radio station and worked my way through, a few different places, and was out at a small market in Colorado, and I'd been there for 3 years, and you know, there's like a couple of different websites, you know, with the job openings and all that different kind of stuff. And
this is like early internet too, by the way.
Yeah. And this is the year 2000. This is the fall of 2000.
Right.
Like I got the job in Colorado because the other radio station I was at had a stack of like these, you know, radio newspaper/magazines, and they had classified ads in the back. And so that's how I found the job in Colorado. You know, flash forward 3 years, and it's like, you know, job postings on the internet, how novel, you know. And you know, being a Notre Dame fan, I actually used to, you know, like search for, you know, like websites here in South Bend or whatever. So long story short, or short story long, one day on this website, I come across a job opening for the radio station. They were the, you know, the flagship station for Notre Dame football. And the job was hosting a Notre Dame football pregame show, doing play-by-play for Notre Dame women's basketball, doing play-by-play for Notre Dame baseball, and also being the sports guy on the morning show. U93 is a station here in town for people of, you know, familiar with U93. This was obviously when they used to have the contract. They don't have it.
Right.
So that's basically it. And I ended up getting the job. I was not the first choice from what I had told, but the guy who I was replacing was actually, you know, part of the process. And there was something in my baseball. There was something in my baseball demo where I used to do junior college baseball when I was out there in Colorado. And it was one of these games where there were like a million home runs being hit. And so the team that I, you know, did the play-by-play for, Lamar Community College, they were looking to make a pitching change. And so the guy who was going to go in the game had pitched a little bit, I think, the day before. And so he was sitting in the stands with the radar gun, doing the radar gun. And he had just on like his regular turf shoes. And then the next thing you know, like he's going to go in the game, but he's running all over the place looking for his cleats. He couldn't find his cleats. And so I'm talking about this in my demo. And that was kind of part of what caught their ears. So
the non-play-by-play stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Which the other stuff
goes back to the point that I think I made a long time ago when you and I were talking, when you and I used to do some baseball games together. It's an art to be able to do a baseball game because there's so much dead time. You know, if you think about a baseball broadcast, how often the ball is actually in play, that you are making a call versus everything else. Like there's so much dead time to put stats in there, have a conversation or do whatever. Like that's an art to be able to fill that air, especially solo. That's a tough task right there.
I'm trying to think about my verb conjugation because Salty is asking me to read something in. That's the thing about Russian is there's like subject verb agreement, like the endings all change, I'll just say, Я изучал много лет назад, но сейчас, мой русский только неплохо.
Your Russian is so-so. That's what I got at the end.
Right. I studied many years ago, and now my Russian is only so-so.
So if you turned on like a Russian broadcast, could you follow along with what they were talking about?
I can follow. Just depends on it. Like they talk so fast.
Yes, they
do.
You
know, and it's been like, you know, 35 years or something like that at this point. I can probably follow 60-70%.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of people like, can say they can do that with Russian.
It's like when they get into the deeper, like colloquial language, you know, parts of the language and stuff like that. That's obviously. Yeah. And that's what I actually served during the Cold War. Brandon, he said I could have thrived during. That's actually when I was in. I went in 1987, got out in 1991. I was stationed at a place called Field Station Augsburg in Germany. That was a giant listening station in Bavaria. It was, I think, maybe 60-70 miles west of Munich, you know, like southern, a little bit north of where you know, like Hitler and the Eagles, the Eagles lair, and all, what would they call that thing, the Eagle's Nest, you know, down there where you know, where Hitler, you know, used to hang out and all that different kind of stuff. Easy Company rolled in and took over. But yeah, so we had like a big listening area, and we used to, it was when, you know, before the wall came down, and we were stationed over there when like the Cold War officially ended, when the wall came down and all that different kind of stuff. We got to go when they opened up Czechoslovakia. They opened up that, I think, first, and we got to go to Prague a couple of different times. And I think it was the first time we were there, H.W. Bush was doing a like a thing in downtown Prague, and the streets are just packed with Czechs. So, but that's enough on that.
There's one more question about your time in the service.
I saw Tommy asked about my rank. Yeah. And it's basically, I think I've talked about this. Ooh, I accidentally unstarred it rather than putting it up on the screen. I got out an E4. I could have been, could have gone to NCO school and been an E5, I think about a year before I was supposed to get out. But I didn't want to, I didn't feel like.
You knew at that point you weren't going to be continuing.
I knew I was getting out, and I was like, this is just a waste of time for like an extra $100 a month or whatever it was.
Right.
You know, I'm still living in the barracks and still doing, you know, the only benefit to being an NCO was, you know, a little bit extra pay and you got your own room. And I'm like, eh, I'm fine, you know, sharing a room. And what ended up happening was my roommate did go to the NCO school. So I ended up getting my own room anyway. So the only thing I didn't get was the extra money. So,
hey, that's all right. Drinks are on him.
That's right.
So nothing wrong with that.
That's right. That's right. All right. Enough of that. Let's talk some.
That's great stuff. I learned stuff during that. I've known you a long time, and there's some of that that I knew and some of that that was new. So that was good.
Yeah. But I think the question was about Brett, you know, so I came to work here, worked here at U93. I was there for 8 years. They lost the contract and they kind of took that opportunity as the recession was setting in, you know, to lay me and a couple other people off and that kind of thing. And then got back in a few years back with the WSBT radio group, and that's who's got it right now. So I've done a total of 12 years of the Notre Dame women's basketball play-by-play. But it was something specifically that, like, the play-by-play is what I love the most about broadcasting. We were like the classic in college, turn the sound down and watch the University of Kansas basketball games with Bob Davis, you know, like the KU play-by-play guy, you know, like we would listen, and the delay was not as bad as it is right now either, but we would, you know, listen to him. And you know, most of my friends were Chiefs fans. So we would listen to, for a couple years, it was Kevin Harlan. And then after that, it was a guy named Mitch Holtis. Mitch Holtis is the guy who's still got it now. Like when you ever hear that, touchdown Kansas City. Yeah, where he goes nuts. That's Mitch Holtis. But so my buddies used to do that as well. Like listen, watch TV with the sound of those guys up.
Nice.
So Tommy wants to know, why do you think Coach Freeman didn't hold Sam Hartman to the same level of accountability as he did when Estime when both players had a fumble? I only ask since Free used Sam specifically about not having exceptions.
My initial thought on this is the drop off at quarterback was much bigger than the drop off at running back. As a coach, I feel like it's easier to hold people accountable when I know that the guy going in for them still is going to be able to carry the water, so to speak. I don't think there was a whole lot of faith in what was behind Sam Hartman.
Well, and that's the thing. It's different with a running back and a quarterback. Right.
Absolutely.
And I get it. You know, like, okay, maybe you say, well, a fumble is a fumble. You still have to have the same, you know, accountability or whatever. But it's just quarterback is the most unique position on the field, because at the other positions, you know, you can sit the guy and theoretically get somebody in, especially at running back when they're as deep as they are at running back. I just don't think you can do that at the quarterback position, especially kind of considering, you know, it's not like Hartman and Angeli were neck and neck, you know.
Right.
Hartman was pretty far ahead of Steve Angeli. And
yes,
with the situations that Angeli would have been going into, you know, when those fumbles occurred, you're throwing a young, inexperienced guy on the road,
right,
into a tough situation.
He has a follow-up that I starred, so it's in there, so you can grab it if you want to. which I think is a good good follow up by Tommy. Probably towards the bottom.
There we go.
He goes follow up to my question. I get the obvious difference in the quality of the depth chart at both quarterback and running back last year. There you go. So he's on the same page as us. But wouldn't that have made the benching of Sam all the more meaningful? Meaningful? Sure. Guaranteed loss? Probably even more so. Like, you have to calculate. Now, did they lose that game anyway? Yeah. But you've got to – it's just going to a different quarterback is way different than going to a different running back. It's like putting in a different receiver. I mean, it's just completely different. You would have to change your offense going from Sam Hartman to Steve Angeli.
Right.
Not only are you changing the way what they're good at and what they're not good at, but then all of a sudden the playbook shrinks a great deal as well.
And you're also benching a captain. Like that's also true. That has to be factored in there as well. Sam Hartman was a captain.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you start benching captains, that throws off a lot of things.
Yeah. I think. Absolutely. So especially it's just apples to oranges is what it is. I mean, that's the best way to put it. You're making a pretty significant change when you change a quarterback. You're not making a significant change when you change up a running back. But great question. I see where you're coming from, man. I do. It's just so much harder as a coach to make that change, man. So much harder.
Exactly. Joe wants to know, what has you more excited, having two really good coordinators or having a better avenue to the college football playoff?
I think Notre Dame's always had a good avenue to the college football playoff. If Notre Dame takes care of business, they're in the playoff, no matter what iteration of the playoff that we're referring to, right? So I think it's fantastic. I would much rather have two good to great coordinators, which I think they have right now, because that means the product in the field is going to be better, which then in turn gives you a better shot at the playoff. And so I would take the two coordinators all day on this one.
Yeah, I mean, they've always had access to the playoff. They've made the playoff twice. And, you know, obviously, the playoff field is going to be expanded and all that stuff. So theoretically, there's at least more access to the playoff. But I would argue, like, the combination of having that plus the two coordinators that you have, the coordinators put you over the top. So it's the coordinators that excites me as well. Because even when you look at who the coordinators were back in 2018 and 2020, when they made it, not that there was anything wrong with those guys, but at the same time, I feel as excited about this duo that they've got on each side of the ball as I've been in a long time when I'm looking at who they've like, and the, you know, throw in the combination of the head coach as well. That whole trifecta there, I think they're just in great shape right now. So that would be it for me as well.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun group to watch. I mean, I'm very excited about the whole situation, the whole enchilada, as they say.
Tommy wants to know, specialist or corporal? Army, now, I can't speak for if they've changed this over the years, but Army back then didn't have corporal. I think they did like pre-80s maybe, and at some point it all just became, because corporal, because my dad was in the Marines as well, like Tommy, and he was like corporal is sort of a junior NCO, just like a step below sergeant kind of thing, but the Army didn't have that. So just specialist.
I've always been confused, and it's only because I'm not in it, right? I've always been confused about all the ranks and
well, and each service has its, its own different set of ranks. So yeah. Exactly. Just like gunnery sergeant. I don't think Marine Corps has gunnery sergeant. I don't think we had gunnery sergeant, if I remember right.
I coached with a guy and we called him Gunny because he used to be a gunnery sergeant in the Marines.
Yeah.
And he went by Gunny the rest of his life. Like,
you've probably seen Hamburger Hill or whatever movie that was. Was it Pork Chop Hill? The one with Clint Eastwood. Is that the one that you're like Gunny Highway? Is that
what No, I coached with a guy that we that was called.
Oh, Gunny. He actually was a gunnery sergeant.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so they called him Gunny. Like that was, honestly, I don't know what his real name is. He was just always Coach Gunny. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we got agreement about the benching a captain. I think that has a big effect. Hamburger Hill.
There you go.
Thanks, Tommy.
Always, bam.
That's right. Brandon wants to know, the read so far on Mitch Jeter. Are we going to have kicking issues this season, or are you impressed with what you've seen so far? I mean, you know,
go
missed
ahead,
a field goal or two today. Really? And, you know, I know Brian had it in his analysis. You know, there's not quite the pop, you know, the jump of the ball off the foot of Mitch Jeter like we've seen with a couple of these other guys. But, you know, how much of it, we haven't had a chance to talk to the specialists and that kind of, you know, Marty Biagi. I think Marty Biagi might be next week, and we might even get we haven't got a chance to talk to him. There's a new operation, you got to remember, because Michael Vinson is gone, and you got a new kicker coming in, you know. So, like, that's what I know Marty Biagi talked about last year. Once they got that operation down, and a lot of that happened over the summer, you know, where those guys were able to practice together all summer long, snap, placement, kick, snap, placement, kick. So that could have some impact on it as well, because Jeter was used to a different operation when he was at South Carolina. It's completely different now, you know, like just timing the whole thing, the rhythm of the whole thing. I'm not saying that that is the reason, because again, we haven't got a chance to talk to those guys yet, but I would say, just give it some time, because like everything else, it's still really early in spring right now.
I would say from what I've seen, and I wasn't there this morning, and I understand they did a bunch of PAT field goal type stuff early. Yeah. But from what I've seen, when I've seen him kicking, he does not have the big boomer leg that the last two guys have had. Groupie and Spencer Schrader, they had, like, it made a sound when they kicked the ball, and it like kind of reverberated through the indoor facility. That is not the case. Now, what I will say is I think he's more accurate. I think he probably won't have the distance capability of the last two guys, but I think he's going to be more accurate. And so if you're talking like 45 and in, I think you're looking at a real good chance it's going to go in. You know what I mean? As opposed to some of the other guys, it was like, well, you know, I'm not really sure which way it's going to go, but it's going to have plenty of leg on it. You know, that kind of a thing. So I'm much more confident in kind of the layup kicks, because, you know, nothing was a layup when Spencer Schrader was kicking, by the way. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Like, nothing was a layup. Like, most people felt better about a 55-yarder than they did about a 35-yarder, right? And so I feel much better about the layups. 40 and in, 45 and in, like that. I feel much better about the accuracy of Mitch Jeter. We'll see what happens, but you're absolutely right. You do have to give it some time, because it is a brand new kind of an operation and a situation. Yeah. And he's kicking in an indoor place that he's never kicked before, and all of those different things. But I just don't think he's got you're not going to see 55, 53 yarders kick from him. That's just not going to happen. Right. And so, but I think the layups will be much more accurate.
Yes. We have a correction, and David is absolutely right. The Clint Eastwood movie was Heartbreak Ridge. Well done. Well done, David. Mario Van Peebles, Heartbreak Ridge. They go down to, like, I don't know if they specifically said Grenada, but they went down to Grenada and they had to rescue these students at the end, you know. But it was like Clint Eastwood, you know, getting the unit into shape and all that kind of stuff. They were spoiled Marines, which I don't think, you know, like, spoiled and Marines are not two words that I think that go hand in hand. But they had become kind of a soft unit, and Clint Eastwood whipped them back into shape in his old school, only the way he can ways, you know, that kind of thing. Heartbreak Ridge. Good job, David. USMA says he was catching up from earlier. He took Russian at the military academy. Always said if they need my language, there are big problems. Yes.
That's fair. That's
a good point. Very true. Very true. All right. Well, do you want to get to some of these offensive line questions that are in here?
Yeah, what the heck? Why not? I mean,
for rapid fire, what do you want to do?
It's up to you. I mean, again, we've had two practices so far, neither of which have had pads on. And so I'm interested to see where the question, I haven't looked at the question, so I guess we'll see kind of where they go. But yeah.
How about this one first? Nick Saban says paying players is destroying college football, while Louisville women's basketball coach wants to pay them and find them for mistakes. Who's right and why?
Obviously, there's a middle ground someplace. Those are two, like, you know, diametrically opposed points. I used to fall into the camp of Nick Saban, and the way that the NCAA has gone about it, I agree with Nick Saban. NIL isn't necessarily a problem if it's done correctly. If it's actually you are paying for your name, image, and likeness, you know, at a car dealership or in a video game or anything like that. I don't have a problem with that if it's done correctly. Okay. Players should be able to benefit from their NIL. They should, right? Because forever schools were operating on the backs of these players. And so I'm okay with that. Now, I think less and less importance is being put on how much money they're basically saving by getting a free education. I do think that that's an actual thing, okay? Especially at a place like Notre Dame, where it's like 75 grand a year, and with the kid going to college, like, this is all becoming reality for me. And so, you know, that is part of it. But I also believe they should be able to make money on their name, image, and likeness. Now,
right,
they have completely gone overboard with this thing, and it's completely out of control. I have a problem with that. It's terrible, and the toothpaste is out of the tube, as they say, and it's going to be really hard to get it back in. And so I guess I fall more on the Nick Saban side, because, look, finding players and doing all – like, he wanted to find somebody $500 for a turnover. Like, that is crazy. That's crazy. You could have a point guard a freshman point guard is thrust into – you know, starting, and they have 8 turnovers, you're going to fine them $4,000 from one game?
I mean,
like, that's nuts.
Does the head coach get fined for every blunder that he makes in decisions during a game?
See, like, that's ridiculous.
Where's the line? Yeah, right. I mean, Saban is right, but I think what really upsets Saban more than anything is the fact that NIL opened up doors and avenues for other teams around the country to get all the players that he was getting to Tuscaloosa without having to work that hard.
That's fair. Because, you know, Nick Saban worked his butt off in recruiting.
Right.
Nobody can take that away from him. Like, that's why Alabama became Alabama. Remember when he took over Alabama, they were nothing. They were not a good football program. Yeah. Right. And he recruited his butt off and got dudes in there. And yeah, But don't you agree with him a little bit? Like, wouldn't you be upset if you worked your butt off and all of a sudden people get a cheat code to try to get players in? Like, I'd be pissed off too.
For sure.
Yeah.
He had it figured out, you know, he could promise these guys a path to the NFL. And it's like, look, do it my way. You're going to make it eventually. But now, because of NIL, these guys are a lot less patient. They're a lot more impatient about whether or not they're going to play right away. And someone offers them a little bit money, and it, you know, because it's not just NIL, it's the transfer portal combined with the NIL. And
true.
The impact that has. Just like,
that's true.
Look at the Jordan Addison situation from Pittsburgh to USC a couple of years ago. You can go
worst kept secret ever.
Right.
Right.
Yep. That's exactly right.